This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
Welcome to No Fixed Agenda, presented by Bubs Naturals. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeff Stoner. Appreciate you listening in to another journey across the podcast airwaves with us. We've got a really cool one today. And I say that maybe the wrong terminology with that. It is a very inspiring story from Corinne Smith. And I say it's a great, cool story because of the survival aspect of it and her walking through to the other side, because she suffered a stroke 60 days ago. She's 29 years old, business owner, yoga instructor, coach. So she is living a very healthy lifestyle, but come to find out, it was her stress that caused the stroke. And it is just piled up one after the other as far as what that stress was. And she shares that. She shares what she went through during that stroke. And the stroke was at a family wedding, a family get together, which added a whole entire another level onto this. So the story, again, very inspiring and kind of a cautionary tale when it comes to the stress that we put ourselves in and not taking enough time to reset. So, you know, again, I hope you guys enjoy. It was a really fun time having Corinne in and having some laughs along the way. Don't get me wrong. This is not a full-on sappy conversation. It is very fun. And we do have a lot of laughs with it. It's just a very inspiring story when it all is said and done. So please enjoy, guys. Welcome to No Fixed Agenda, Corinne Smith.
The No Fixed Agenda podcast is brought to you by Bubs Naturals. Their mission is simple: live better, longer. Bubs helps fuel people to reach their maximum human potential through supplements sourced from nature's highest quality ingredients, all by giving 10% of profits back to charity. That's right, people, 10% back to charity. Learn more about their NSF for sports certified collagen peptides and electrolyte drink mix at bubsnaturals.com.
I also like to cut Omar out a lot.
Wow.
He talks too much.
Wow.
Today I had to cut off 8 minutes and it was mostly
him. You got 8 minutes? Good. That's okay. I get that.
No. It's all good.
Okay, cool. I'm sure it'll be burned in my memory if I say something embarrassing, so I'll tell you what it is. Yeah. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Corinne with Affirmations of Wellness. How long have we been in partners, like working together?
I think 3 years.
3 years now, huh? We hit it off right off the bat, huh?
Omar and I were contractors at a local gym, and I rented the yoga studio space upstairs, and Omar used the lower space for the gym. But we were all entrepreneurs, so we came together and sat in this circle, and Omar and I showed up to this meeting, and we were just like besties ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I think I can relate to this chick, and we like, I think we're good. And yeah, it's history from that point on, man. But that's cool. How we met. But
that's cool. Yeah.
So one of the things we like to do is to break the monotony up and maybe create a little humor or
a little icebreaker.
A lot of icebreaker, even though we had a little bit of one already. Is we like to ask our guest to give us a tender profile pitch on who you are and who your business is, and think of it as a entrepreneurial, even personal.
What's your elevator pitch for the episode? This is why I have to cut him sometimes.
Wow.
It's okay. I appreciated the more information.
Yeah. So it's a matter of, we like to look at it as what's going to make the listener continue to listen to this episode.
Or swipe right.
Swipe left on the whole entire Tinder scenario. Elevator pitch, go.
All right. I'm Corinne Smith. I am the owner and creator of Affirmations of Wellness. We are a wellness center located in the heart of Oceanside, and we specialize in yoga, massage therapy, Reiki energy healing, and various holistic events because we believe that wellness comes in many ways. At our studio, we offer cooking classes, mocktail classes, sound therapy, breathwork, crafting, arts, and like a lot of different open house type events to draw community together, because a big part of our wellness is our community and how social we are. I think that's another thing Omar and I have always connected on. The sole purpose of me creating the space was to have a safe place to practice massage therapy and Reiki, but more so to create a community, build a community. I think that's where we differ a lot from other studios or gyms in the area of Oceanside.
That's cool. I love connecting like communities, right? Omar's got a great community. The trail running community that we've built, it's great. I love when we have business owners come in here and we're like, and it's not so much the business side of things. It's the community side of things, which I think is really great. I'm stoked to hear that.
Yeah, thank you.
Ironically, man, see, this is the connections that I like to make, dude, immediately I connect with people that focus in on, you could say community, but they're people.
Certainly.
You know what I mean? So it's the same thing. If I see a heart of service and love and support to your people, that's why we hang around so much, dude. Sorry.
Hey, like mine. Just sticks together.
Apologize.
That's funny.
Yeah, I have my head full, but anyhow.
But I agree with you guys. I think businesses where I find that I frequent as a patron or a supporter, they actually value me as a customer or as a part of their community.
Yeah.
They value the relationship that we have. They value, hey, how are you? How was your trip? How is this going in your life? You feel a lot different when people actually pay attention and get to know you as a person versus you're just a number. So that's something that I hold a lot of pride in with my business. We are small, but we're mighty.
There you go.
Every person that comes in there is supposed to be there for that class and that time, whether there's one person in the room or 15 people in the room. I don't have any automated bullshit. Everything is a personal message. Everything's a personal call. That might hinder my growth in some way, but I think that who's supposed to be there is supposed to be there.
What you value.
Yeah. I pride that I've created a business that feels very homey when you walk in there. It's not like a glossy corporate kind of sterile feel. Everything you need is there. You see a friend, make friends. One of my favorite things is like seeing the people that meet in the studio become friends outside the studio. So yeah, it's a really cool thing. So I'm happy we're all connected.
So we wanted to bring you on because you wanted to share some stuff and kind of just A, talk about affirmations and who they are as a community. B, why we created our communities in your particular scenario, why you created your, because we talked about briefly about what community means to us and what community means to in our businesses. I like to say that we're very much whole life approach to things. And I've seen Jeff have very individualized conversations with the people that go to his events. Right. I've seen you like understand individually, personally who everybody in your gym is and some of the things that they're struggling with or they might need support with. So it's like a whole life approach to things. When you talk about affirmations of wellness, talk about why you wanted to start that and what was the intention behind that?
Yes, for sure. A little bit about me. I grew up on the East Coast, actually. I moved here in 2020. And
you don't seem like an East Coast person, by the way.
I don't. I'm a local
now. She's such a hippie,
now.
Dude. She's such a hippie, like a California hippie, dude.
I do not get East Coast vibes from you at all, period.
Thank you.
And I'm not saying that as a bad manner, East Coast. I'm sorry, but I don't get East Coast vibes at all.
Thank you. Yeah. It's funny. I love it there.
I get like more like San Francisco, like kind of that vibe.
Hippie vibe.
Yeah, kind of like more. That's what I get from that. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just.
Cool. Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you.
I digress. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure. I know that you travel for your race series, but have you ever been to Maryland or Delaware?
I have been there for years ago. I was there for a couple of events.
So okay.
Those areas are really cool. Delaware is a really cool state.
Really cool. The Delaware beaches are cool. Fun fact about Delaware.
Is it Dewey? Is that right?
Yeah. Dewey is the party beach.
Yep. I've been there.
I have to. Delaware is amazing. It's like the first state in all our states. A lot of people, I'm like, oh, I'm from Delaware. I actually grew up in Maryland, but a lot of my adult life and entrepreneur life was had in Delaware. I went to massage therapy school there, took my yoga teacher training in Lewis Beach, Delaware. It's three beach towns up from Dewey. And that's where I grew my entrepreneurship or business. So Affirmations of Wellness actually was my business name over there.
Oh.
I moved out here in 2020, January, right before the world shut down. The pandemic was a very interesting time to have a career where you touch people and teach them yoga.
Yeah.
But
you're not allowed to touch them.
Wasn't essential anyway. But made it through all that. I was working with a doctor at the time. And so he was a chiropractor. We were considered essential because he was a doctor. So
nice.
I was still able to grow my clientele, but I was grateful I moved when I did, because if I would have waited any longer, the world shutting down might have hindered me from ever coming.
Yeah.
So landed in this place and kind of losing my train of thought, but.
So what made you go from Maryland to San Diego? Was San Diego the top choice destination?
It
was
kind of
like a, you know what, I'm just going to head to the west, like start heading west and see where it gets to.
When I grew up, I was a figure skater. So I came out in high school for an ice skating competition. We were in UTC La Jolla. It was August. It never exceeded 75 degrees. And I was like, I got to live here. Like, people are cool here. I wasn't doing anything in the health or wellness industry just yet, but I loved the sunshine. I loved the beach. Everybody was nice. When I lived on the East Coast, a lot of people would be like, oh my God, you're so nice. And now I get that here or there, but I'm not like an oddball here anymore. I feel like I fit in. Whereas on the East Coast, I was just like an alien or a weirdo. Like, I'd walk into a gas station and people are like, who is this person? But here I'm like,
you're
I'm
too fucking nice. You should be telling me to go fuck off, right?
Yeah, like that. So in 11th grade, I made up my mind that I was going to live here one day. Started my stuff in Delaware and I kept vacationing here and I stumbled across Oceanside. And part of it was a little selfish. Oceanside was the most affordable coastal town in San Diego at the time of my coming. So I was like, this is how I'm going to make it work. This is what it is. But I also liked Carlsbad and Encinitas, but I just landed here. I drove across the country with my dog and found a spot here first. And I was like, I guess it's meant to be. So 2 months later, the pandemic occurred. Didn't really get to explore much outside of Oceanside, really. I was working in Encinitas, in Leucadia for a little while. And that was like my extent. Like, home is Oceanside. My furthest travels are Encinitas. Yeah. And the world shut down. There's nothing to do. I got to know the community very well. Like, local coffee shops. That's how I found Axe. I started teaching yoga on the beach just because I never made it into my own studio from the move. But what inspired me to open the studio, and I share all this about Delaware and Maryland because something about the East Coast, it is very different from the West, but I was very supported by my teachers, my coaches, my instructors. The places that I rented rooms from in Delaware were very different from here. You come to California and everyone's friendly and it seems like everyone is an entrepreneur, but that doesn't make everybody a good entrepreneur or a good person or a good business owner. So unfortunately, I was burned by a couple of the places that I rented from. And I wanted to create a space that I could share with others, help other entrepreneurs grow, a safe place that's clean when you walk in there. Everybody's nice to you, like respectful of your schedule. You want to do A, B, or C? Cool. If it's going to help somebody, I want to give you a space to shine and support it without any hidden strings of you have to stay here forever or I'm going to burn you if you ever leave me. I wanted a place where people could share healing with the community without a bunch of bullshit, pretty much. Yeah. So yeah, that was my intention with starting. I didn't have a great experience renting in the massage industry. So I wanted to have a place of my own to see my clients that were loyal since I came out here. They followed me from chiropractic offices, my first, second, and third location. When the world shut down, I was like taking my table to their house. I just wanted the Affirmations to be the place where they're like, okay, cool, Corinne's not moving anymore.
Right.
She does a great job and we're just going to come here and see her. And then it eventually blossomed into like, how can other instructors and other therapists have a good experience, a nice home to start to share their craft.
So you talk about being a figure skater when you were younger and yoga practice and everything else. What is some of your other health active lifestyle look like? And I ask this because the story that we'll get into here in a little bit, because I think that kind of defines part of the story. So what other kind of activities were you into or are you into now that you're here in Southern California?
Yeah. Started with figure skating. I've played probably every sport growing up. Nothing ever really stuck until figure skating came. I think I am not a very competitive person. So being on a sports team, I'm just the chick that's there because this is fun.
Space right now.
Yeah.
Hang out with my friends.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not like, I don't really care if we win or lose. And I think that's something that is different of me than a lot of people, but there are other people like me out there. So figure skating was a very solo sport. I did skate on a team and like in shows and stuff, but when you're skating as a solo skater, you're your own competition. Yeah. You're your biggest competition. You might be against other people, but they're not like out there with you. Another really beautiful thing about skating is you get two scores. And gymnastics is this way too, but there's your artistic score, how gracefully or put together you were, how you flowed through the performance. And then there's the technical score, like, well, how in alignment were you? How long did you hold that? Did you land that jump or complete that spin without traveling from here to here?
Wow.
The technical score meant something to me, but the graceful score, the artistic score was really important too. So following ice skating, I was really good. I can still skate and spin and stuff, but I wasn't going to make it to the Olympics. It wasn't going to be a long-term career path for me. I broke my ankle my junior year. And that kind of turned it off for me a little bit. Like I went back my senior year of high school, but yoga was the very first sport to follow skating or activity to follow skating that I went to. And it didn't make me feel like shit. Like I went and I didn't leave the class feeling incomplete or bad about myself. Wow, like all these other people are better than me and I can't do this, or my ankle was broken and I can't stand on one leg here at all. Or it was always, I'm not sure if it was the positive affirmations that are coming from the instructor or if it's just the actual meaning behind yoga. Yoga isn't so much about how you can move or what you can do. It's who you are and how you're choosing to be present and show up. So aside for yoga, for a long time, all I did was walk my dog. When I came in touch with Omar years ago, he was always inviting me to the gym. He's come to the gym, be a part of the community. And I'm like, I'm not a gym girl. That was like my, that was my thing. However, I've expanded and I see Omar every Tuesday now we say PT, which is personal training, but it's more so to me like physical therapy. What I've learned through a lot, which kind of comes into the theme of our story we're sharing, is you can't do anything in excess. It's not good to do anything every day. And I teach my clients this a lot, whether they're massage or yoga students. A lot of our life as humans is forward. We're rounding our shoulders, we're on our phone, we're driving the car. And what that does is it shortens all of these muscles here and starts to overstretch everything on our back. So I said to Omar, I really need you to help me. My back is so overstretched. Like I'm in pain every day. I don't know if I can keep doing this. So for about almost 2 years now, every Tuesday, I go to the gym and we do some pool stuff. And it's literally saved me. So that's my experience with the gym. I also love Pilates, reformer Pilates. I've been trying in this last year to get out of my comfort zone and do different things. I like to swim the ocean, just jump in the water. So I'm pretty active.
She's underselling how graceful she is, dude. Like when I say I've now coached her or worked with her for 2 years now, and every time I give her a cue to do something, it's super graceful, dude. I don't know. It's like, wait a minute. It's so easy to coach her, dude, because she's very in tune with her body. And I think that's something that yoga has done. And not only that,
something that figure skating did.
Yeah, well,
honestly,
I don't know. Yeah. I truly wish I was practicing yoga when I was doing skating. And
I guess
it would have been both. Been the yin and the yang, right?
It would have been. We had those two scores, so that foundation was always there. Skating was very much, okay, you landed it. Now we're going to work on your double. Okay, you did it. So do you want to compete in the same bracket that you did this last year, or do you want to move up? It was always moving forward past this test, et cetera. There was not really a lot of presence with where you were. There wasn't a lot of celebration of, oh shit, I just did my, we have weird names in skating, like your sow cow or your like your flip or your, I don't know, all this stuff. But
I'm going to be honest, Corinne. The only thing I know about figure skating is Blades of Glory.
I love it.
That's the only thing I know about figure skating.
Yeah. I love it. You went Will Ferrell. And that's,
you went and way fucking off the reservation on this one.
That's the only thing I know about figure skating.
We're going to skate to this song and this song only.
I mean,
that's amazing. Partner skating is a whole nother vibe too.
Hey, Jeff is not sold on the whole thing. Like he is a Midwest guy, steak potatoes. He's a farm boy.
Omar has told me you're not a hippie, Jeff.
Yeah, he is opposed to all hippie things.
I'm a country bumpkin.
That's okay. That's okay.
Country strong, man.
Yeah. It's not good to do any one thing. So back to my point of you being understanding that you need both. You need a little bit of the yang. You need a little bit of the yang. You can't sit there. And he's learning this too. He doesn't know this. He's dealing with the planner thing. And he realized he had to slow things down. And now he's doing scraping, which is a form of holistic.
That's
very holistic.
You got a clear quartz, a rose quartz, a jade. What color is it?
This is the first time I'm calling him out on it, by the way. He doesn't know he's a hippie.
He's like, nobody's supposed to know this.
I'm not saying I don't believe in the holistic thing altogether.
Yeah.
I understand that some things work really well for me.
Yeah.
I had never done the scraping thing and I got suckered into it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But it feels good.
You're interviewing, you're podcasting too many hippies.
Yeah.
Your algorithm did that.
Fuck yeah, dude.
But my point of bringing that up is it's not good to do any one thing. I can't sit there and beat my body up every day without doing some form of self-care. And so you need trauma in your life. And trauma is presented in several different ways, whether you're putting yourself through a very challenging workout and creating hardships to your body, or you're going through a stressful moment as an entrepreneur. Every time there's trauma in somebody's life, something good comes out of it.
It's true.
And you can't have constant healing if you don't have any trauma to heal from. Because then
you're good.
Yeah. Not only that, but like you've learned, you're overstretching your back. So I've healed way too much in my back. Right. Holy shit. I need to create some trauma here. And so when you and I started working together 2 years ago, I was like, oh, I can create some trauma. But if I would have said, hey, Corinne, I need you to come and do a class, you'd be like, fuck, I don't need that kind of fucking trauma. But at the same time, to his point, so I created some form of trauma that you're willing to tolerate and handle and maintain for 2 years. He's now learning that he needs to heal a different way. And so he's looking at holistic things that he might have fucking got suckered into it on Instagram. But look at him now. He's sitting there healing himself by scraping. And those are things that I think that it doesn't have to be labeled as like a hippie. It doesn't have to be labeled as a meathead. Like we're just trying to fucking, or a country bumpkin. And so it's good to do those things. But at the same time, dude, you're just doing fucking things that make yourself feel better. And so I think that's where you and I connected in regards to that. And so you understand that with a lot of more so now than ever before.
That's true.
Oh, and I love the fact that you told a story about like why you got into yoga and what it means to you and all that stuff. And I know it. And I'm glad you shared it because I was going to call you out on it if you did it. I want you to share why that's so important to you. And so one of the lessons you learned through some of the things that just recently happened.
I'll share. This is my first time like sharing this outside of regular conversation. But believe it or not, very recently, I suffered a stroke. I'm 29. I have a lot of stress on my plate, a lot of responsibilities with the business, managing things, being there for other people. And I have followed what I thought to be good balance and taking care of myself and finding that yin to the yang or yang to the yin, whatever way you want to look at it. But the stroke really came about out of nowhere. I had no warning sign. And within 8 hours of receiving Western medicine and some hospital attention, I was back to normal. I lost the whole left side of my body. I was half paralyzed for about 8 hours. And it coming back is amazing. I'm not sure if I can attest the mind, muscle, self-awareness connection to that, or if I can just thank the TNK that they injected into me to give me more circulation. But my purpose for sharing this is I think a lot of people look at someone that goes to the gym all the time or has a wellness studio or is at yoga every day of the week as like invincible. Oh, it's so easy for them. They're in good health. They're fit. Nothing like this comes out of nowhere. Everybody who is an active person makes an active choice to continue their active lifestyle, to continue to try those things that are maybe traumatic but bring balance to their body, who carve out time to stretch or make a healthy meal or show up for themselves or take a little time to rest if they're doing too much. Anyway, my purpose of sharing is I just want to let everyone know that health and wellness isn't something that's like an outside view. I think it's a multi-dimension of different things. I really believe that because no cardiologist or neurologist or anybody can really tell me why this actually happens to me, they're giving me like generic information. There's no cure. There's no to say if it's going to happen again. Am I going to bounce back that quick if it ever happens again? But stress was something that I can look at and acknowledge I wasn't managing very well, even through these various health and wellness practices. So
kind of walk us through the moment it was happening. That I think that's very important for people to hear what you went through and how you, like the symptoms you were starting to see.
Yes.
And it was unfortunate during when it was happening too. So walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah. This past year, I have been a maid of honor twice in less than 30 days. Anybody, I'm not married, but anybody who's ever gotten married or relied on one of their friends to show up for them in their wedding or their family can probably understand how that could be stressful to all parties involved. Yeah. Both of my brides were really chill too, but I think I was putting a lot of self-stress on it. Being from the East Coast, they were both East Coast weddings. I was doing a lot of traveling. The stroke actually occurred at my younger sister's welcome party the day before her wedding. We were in North Carolina. I'd arrived the day prior. We already did the rehearsal, and now it's just time to hang out and get the family and the friends and everybody together. Right before it started, my first symptom, it began with my eyes. So my eyes, I was making like a funny face. They just started to cross, and I couldn't control it. It was like I was possessed or they were frozen there, just in this crossed state. So I had to just shut my eyes. I was standing up. My family was around me, and they had me sit down. Something else I'll share. I am a type 1 diabetic. I've been diabetic since I was 11. It's very well managed and well controlled. So everybody's first thought was like, oh my God, something's wrong with her blood sugar. They're feeding me all the things. They take me to the car to then take me to the hospital. And while I was in the car, the whole left side of my body just died. I could feel my mom was in the back seat with me. She could touch me and I could feel her presence. But I had no movement from my face all the way to like my left toes. Got to the hospital and they said, you're having a stroke. We have to give you this drug. You need to stay with us for 24 hours once we administer it. And while it's happening, I think people think of a stroke like a heart attack or like a massive experience where you can't be present.
Yeah.
But I remember everything perfectly. I was talking the whole time. So they said to me in this moment, you have to stay with us for 24 hours. And I was like, what time is it? My sister's getting married tomorrow. And they're like,
when's the end of the 24 hours?
Yeah. It was 5:30. My sister's wedding was at 6 p.m. And I was like, okay, what happens if you don't give it to me? And they said, you could be half paralyzed for the rest of your life. And I was like, all right, give me the drug. So they shot me up with this thing. I remember falling asleep. And when I woke up, everything was working again. Except my face. That took the longest, which is embarrassing. And nobody told me that my face wasn't working until the nurses like changed their shift. But I had movement again. Wow. I was confused as to why I was there. I was like, look, I'm fine. Let me go. But I stayed the whole 24 hours. I had PT, MRI, CAT scan, ultrasound. Some speech pathologist like came to make sure I could like swallow water and I wasn't going to choke or die. And they released me 30 minutes before my sister's wedding the next day. So I got to go.
He left the hospital in fashionable form.
So I arrived like dressed to the nine. Okay. Yeah, it was my sister's welcome party. It was like a 1920s theme. I had this beautiful like green jade, like dress with these like long, I don't even know what those are called, fringe jewels. Showed up there, my hair's all done, my makeup, and I literally got ready in the hospital bathroom for my sister's wedding. I put the same dress on. I did my makeup in the bathroom. My family all brought me like shampoo and conditioner and got dressed and I left in my heels, took a picture with all my whole nurse squad. They were all stoked and I rolled out and got to the wedding on time. So it was such a whirlwind.
She's underselling the story, bro.
Like, it was such a whirlwind.
Like 24 hours before my wedding, I had to be at a wedding. Like I had a stroke.
Yeah. And it's the only way that I can make peace with it. We all deal with our trauma in our own way is like laughing about it now. But in all actuality, it is really amazing. And every doctor that I've seen since has dismissed me. I feel like they think I'm like overreacting or something because it's really not very typical to recover from a stroke that quickly and to not have very intense symptoms. It's not that I like left scot-free, but visually you would look at me and you wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of being 29 years old, I think that's the big surprise out of everything. And that goes to, as a point of reference, like you don't have to be 50, 60, 70 years old to have a stroke of any kind. It can be 29. And I think that's the biggest thing here is some symptoms start to happen when you're that young. Don't take it as lightly whatsoever.
No. For me personally, I don't think I really had symptoms leading up to it. I think it's a very it's a fast kind of a thing. Yeah. But being in tune with your body is one thing, but it's still a mystery. I have no idea what really caused it.
By the way, you're the second person that I've coached and worked with who's been in their early 30s, late 20s, who had a stroke.
Really?
Really. Because you are aware. You did practice yoga. You were coming to me. You had a little bit of the yin and yang. What were the things that you think created this environment for your brain basically to say, sit down, relax?
Yeah. I think that's what it was. I think there was a lot of go, even when you're doing things that are good for you, which I know Omar gets. As a facilitator, you start the day really early. You're meeting people at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. and you're going, you're talking to them all day. You're moving with them. There's not a lot of moments to really chew your food and actually eat and digest your food. Not a lot of moments to rest. And on top of the additional responsibilities that I had put on myself to show up for these people that I love, I'm happy that I could be there for them. But I think the travel played a big role in the go-go environment I was in anyway.
Yeah.
It's like I was traveling for others and not for myself, where in other times travel had been like a reset, a relax space for me. And that just wasn't the case the first 5 months of this year. So a couple things. I think I was doing too much. I was really stressed out. Being back on the East Coast, a lot of people don't understand unless you like move far away. I think too can bring about, I don't know, old ways of life.
You fall into old habits. I think when you go back to visit family and friends, that when I go back to the Midwest, you fall into some of those Midwest habits that you grew up with. And maybe you see some friends that you grew up with and you get in it. So I totally get that.
Yes. Like
you fall into some habits you haven't been doing here at home.
But you feel so at home with this family or friends or with where you are that like, it's okay. I don't really know. I don't know if it was the hustle and the bustle, the time change, the lack of sleep. What I've learned is that travel, being in an airplane, is a factor for having a stroke. So what I'd love to say to anybody that's listening is if you're going on a long flight and you haven't been on a plane in a long time, pop an aspirin. Take some fish oil, do something that's going to thin your blood. They say that travel is being in the plane, like the elevation and being seated for a long period of time can disrupt your body's circadian rhythm. Perhaps that is something that caused it, which would be really weird. But I was traveling a lot. I was on a plane for 6 to 8 hours, sitting in an airport at least twice a month for the first 5 months of this year. So
it's a lot.
A lot.
That's one of the things I sold my Colorado portion of my business last year. And you talk about doing a lot of traveling. You're not really traveling for the right
reasons.
I was back and forth to Colorado for 14 years, all throughout the summers.
Whoa.
And finally I got to a point where I was like, I'm fucking done. Although I didn't really want to sell the races and get out of that community, just from the travel aspect of it, I was like, I just do not want to do this type of travel anymore. Like if I'm going to do some travel, I want to do it because I'm doing it for enjoyment. I want to do it to reset.
Yeah.
And go and do something. And so that was a big portion of me selling part of my business last year is because of
you're getting your life back.
I started to feel that way. God, I mean, and it's only a 2-hour flight, but by the time you deal with going to the airport, sitting around waiting for that, you know, for boarding and then arriving at an airplane and trying to get, it just became stress after stress. And I realized that to me, Colorado wasn't as enjoyable to go work at anymore. And I was like, I got to get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
I got to stop this. So I completely understand like where that mentality is from a, oh my God, I'm so tired of it. And yet 100% wears on you.
Yes. And I think just to extend what you just said, although I'm self-aware of my body, I don't think I was aware of the mental stress, the financial stress, the toll that's taking to leave your business, pay people to run it for you while you're not present, to go and do this. And you get there and you're not relaxing. You're showing up for others. Yeah. And I wanted to, I'm not like blaming that, like somebody made me do this. Like I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think I was conscious of the effects that it was having on my body, my own overcommitting.
Yeah. How much as a business owner, you're still like checking your phone all the time.
Yeah.
Still checking your email all the time. Oh, is the studio okay?
Yeah.
Is the office okay? And there's just this constant being on, right? And
it never turns off. I think a lot of people like from the outside that haven't had the experience are like, well, it must be so nice. You're just making money and you're not there. You didn't have to
do whatever you want.
You can do whatever you want, whenever you want. It's very stressful too.
It comes at a cost. I also think too, as the deeper you get into the business, you learn selling Colorado allowed me to understand how to turn off sometimes. Like I'll go, now I get it a little bit more. Now, granted, I've been in business for 25 years. So
okay,
I have a little bit better understanding of it now over these last 2 years versus the first 23.
Yep.
But I now see it as I'm not even going to open up my computer.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to check my phone. There'll be moments where I'll just turn my phone off completely or I'll just leave it somewhere. I'm like, if I need to mentally just relax and I want to be present with my wife and my friends, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely I'm making sure that my computer does not go with me. It does not open up. My phone's turned off. And unless we're taking photos of what's going on or whatever, that is something I had to learn, but it took me
a long time.
23 years to figure that out.
And I will say this, dude, because I was around him during this time frame, I notice you talk about energies. I notice a different energy in this dude. And when I say that, it was like Colorado's getting their startup, and he was just
sour.
Sour. Fuck, dude.
I hated it too.
Fucking Colorado's coming. He's like, I gotta fucking get ready for Colorado. And I was like, and it wasn't that he didn't love that community. I want to be clear and say that because it sounds like we're bashing Colorado, and we're not.
It was an obligation
I'm bashing the obligation of doing that. And you openly have told me it's not like when I'm there and it's like I'm present.
It's great. I love it.
And then but it was all the prep work and obligation for that that made you sour.
Yeah, and you're like,
hey, I'm gonna be missing out time with my wife. I'm gonna be missing time with hanging around with me, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
But it was like
with my wife.
It was like
I'm missing hanging out with Omar.
Yeah,
I miss him so much.
Yeah, it was. We jokingly say that, but it was a disruption in the life that you are comfortable living in. The same thing with you and these little things that we do. Matthew Walker, Why We Sleep. He actually references a study that talks about this particular topic that we're talking about and how the life expectancy of a human being that constantly travels into different time zones or flies into a different time zone is shorter than one that was not, that would not.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so it is very, when I thought about that, I was like, man, I really made a good decision when I decided not to work in logistics anymore, because there was a lot of traveling in that perspective. But I go, I wonder how much years of my life that I have taken off by doing that. And it doesn't matter if you're traveling for pleasure or not. You registered in your brain a lot differently, right? We're going to Chicago to go hang out or do a High Rocks. For me, when I'm going to Chicago to do a High Rocks, I'm on because I'm coaching. But Suzette and I have talked about this particular topic, and I'm like, hey, well, my son, his birthday's coming up in September, and we're going to the Sun Spansion at work, so I got all these things going on. And I am so, like, even though it's financially probably not smart for me to go, he wants to go to Tulum, and I'm like, there's no race in Tulum. Yeah. I'm going to be with my grandson and my son. And that right there, I'm like, ooh, I could turn off for 5 days. And you're not, like, to your point, we're talking as entrepreneurs, like, you're never really off. You can turn off for 1 or 2 days, but then you got to be able to look and see, hey, dude, what's going on? Is my building burning down? Is my operations going to shit? Like, and sometimes,
are people showing up,
right,
if I'm not there?
And not only that, it's, there's a burden because we give a shit about what we've done and what we've built and what we have. It's that burden never really goes away, no matter how much you turn off. But we talk about turning off quite a bit. And it is so paramount to turn off just from a brain perspective, just from a neurological perspective. Right. So, yes, travel will hurt you. But more importantly, I think one of the things that bringing it back to you is, yes, you can be aware of your body. Yes, you can have the yin and the yang. Yes, we can learn new, I don't know which one's what, like the healing aspect of things, like new hippie things to do, like scraping, right? Right? Yeah. But more importantly, are we taking the time to feel how we feel, understand where we are mentally and emotionally, and even spiritually for that matter? And everybody's spirituality is different. I'm not trying to push a religion onto anybody or talk about it, but it's really just, you have to be able to have a holistic approach to what's going on. So many of my conversations with people as a coach, as that I work with, like yourself, like, what are you doing? Like, in our sessions, we talk about everything.
We do.
It's everything. And it's because it's on the table, because everything fucking matters in somebody's health, and wellness, and well-being.
Yeah.
There's a lot of contributing factors that make it better or make it worse. Yeah.
And like Jeff and I, too, when we're sitting there, we have a fucking vent session for 20 minutes before we even start working out sometimes. And other times we don't. And so I think that's important for both of us, for that matter. And we do the same thing with you. And so I think it was pretty cool that we were able to get you in and talk about this and how important it is from just not just a physical or even an emotional state, but more so from a neurological and a stress level. One of the things that I'm very aware of, and I feel it, like I'm scared that one day I'll have a stroke, right? And one day I'll talk about some of the medical things that I've been dealing with recently as well. It all comes down to what we put on our plate, what we accept, what we decide to not accept. And we're in a beautiful position to be able to say, nah.
Yeah, it's true.
Not everybody can. People that punch in every day, dude, they got to go in. They got to be on for fucking 8, 12 hours, however many hours of their shift is. We have the flexibility to be like, yeah, I can work 24 hours or not.
And learning to say no is an art in itself.
Oh, one, no is a full sentence.
No is a full sentence. And learning to own it as a full sentence has been something that this trauma has perspired or brought forward in me.
Rich girl, you are.
It's so I was sharing a little bit of background with Jeff before we started, but when I first opened my business, it was only me. I was teaching 3 classes a day, seeing 3 to 5 clients for 90 minutes every day. In the last year, I realized it's not a healthy way to go about things. So we've expanded. We've brought on more instructors, brought on more facilitators, even have a very new massage therapist who's taking clients. And all of that feels so good to tap back into. I opened this not just for myself, but for other people to have a place to grow. With that, it has become a little easier to say no, but I'm getting a lot of pushback from my clients because they want me. That's what they're comfortable with. That's what they know. But I haven't really had the courage to share with everyone individually what's happened. There is a reason why no is a full sentence, but not everyone is entitled to need to know that in the moment. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to explain your no. With me not doing as much teaching or as much seeing of new clients, I've been able to rest a bit and become a student at my space, which is really lovely. And
it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's so amazing. And all of the teachers are very individually unique and have something very special to share. All of their classes are intentional and thoughtful and wonderful and in their own individual way. So going, getting to experience this place that you've created, you fall in love with it in a different way than just, oh my God, I'm doing everything perfect to a T. The exact way that it's still perfect, even if you're not doing everything. I've also gotten to really tap into the more spiritual and mental aspects of yoga, which I was trying to hippie into Jeff as we started earlier.
Good luck.
Ooh, all right, buckle up. So yoga is...
Yeah, I've done yoga, by the way.
Whoa.
Say it again.
I have done yoga.
Really?
I have done yoga. That's
Well, when was this? 1985?
No, man. I was a member at Yoga 6 for 2 years.
What?
Yeah. It doesn't...
He did it.
Yeah.
He did it.
I've done a little bit.
What you get when you come to a class, it's 60 to 75 minutes. Sometimes it's even 30 or 45 minutes, very short. But when you actually dive into, you always feel better than when you walked in.
Thanks.
But there's something deeper happening than just you moving and stretching side to side of your body. So as yoga practitioners or yogis, yoga students, we are tapping into the 8 limbs of yoga. So they're really deep. I'd sit here all day to talk about all of them. But the first 2 limbs are known as the yamas and the niyamas. This translates to the personal self-restraint that we have, like the things we don't do if we are choosing to practice or choosing to teach yoga. And then the things that we commit to or choose to do. So I'll just talk about one of them. It's called ahimsa. This translates to kindness or actually nonviolence. So when you practice ahimsa, you are choosing to not be violent to yourself, violent to another living being, violent to your environment. And this starts, we hear it in the yoga practice all the time, make peace with where you are or compare the sides without judgment. You're not like talking shit to yourself as you go through the practice, you're finding acceptance. So by embracing nonviolence, it's helping you accept the state in which you are. And then this trickles into when you roll up your mat and you leave the studio, you're like, huh, I am really talking bad to myself right now or thinking bad about myself. Or would I do that to another person? It's a lot easier to not be mean to somebody else, but it's sometimes challenging to do that to ourselves. So this experience for me, this having the stroke and now I have a very significant, even though it's not visual, imbalance between my left and right side of my body. Imbalance, coordination, strength, the whole 9 yards. So it's coming back together and I get to really tap into the practice of ahimsa now. There is a piece of like self-acceptance that comes with it. Okay, this happened to me. So like, how can I choose to make it better? Yeah. I didn't have any control over this happening to me, of course. I wasn't conscious that I was in a distressed state or an unhealthy state because I was checking the boxes of the things that were promoting health and well-being, even if they weren't happening. But now it's, what do you do with it? How do you work with what you got? So my practice of ahimsa has been a lot of saying no, a lot of sharing responsibilities, which sounds easy, but it's hard as a business owner. You expect something to be done a certain way and you trust the people that are in your building, but you also, we all have this like little thing in us where nobody can do it like us. And it's not a very healthy, 100%. That's a very a violent way to think about things, right? Because my dark thoughts when I was sitting in the hospital in North Carolina were like, oh shit, what if the left side of my body doesn't come back? Those doors are going to close. I don't have somebody to fill my shoes, but I did. I did. But it's like trusting that, okay, it's there. This is a turn of events. And now we have to change the plan. How do we pivot here? So ahimsa has been one of the practices that and principles that I've been returning to. Haven't really thought too much about it. You think you're a good person. You think you're being nice to yourself. You think you're being nice to people around you. But sometimes a really like traumatic or life-altering event really brings these things to fruition. So I share this because I think a lot of people assume they can't come to yoga because they're not flexible. They can't come to yoga because they can't sit with cross legs. They can't do this or do that. And it's all starting with those violent thoughts about ourselves. If you have a stroke, you can come to yoga. The principles is just sitting and being with other people. Even if you can't actually do what they're doing, you are healing and becoming a part of it by hearing these truths be taught through the instructor or seeing what you are capable of and proving yourself wrong. So, yeah.
Shutting that negative talk or that violent talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's shutting it, but it's really naming it and recognizing how it could be harmful to ourselves and to other people.
Yeah.
I think your stroke was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm starting to embrace that now.
Yeah. Corinne, thank you so much for sharing that. That's a powerful story. Like I do think it's important that people understand the fact that they don't, again, you can be of any age and have health concerns like this and something can happen and everything else. So always being aware of what's the surroundings are, I guess, mentally, physically, neurologically, whatever, when it's all said and done. If you feel stressed as a business owner, as an employee, whatever, just take time for yourself. Take that moment and just disconnect somehow. Yeah. Yoga, travel, whatever it is, like just reset really is what it all comes down to.
Yeah, thank you, Corinne. I applaud your braveness to share something so personal.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me and for allowing me to share this.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.